Hello.
We've got Ricardo Salgado on the line from Honduras. Ricardo is an independent researcher living in Honduras. He understands the crisis, and he's part of the Bloque Popular, which is one of the 45 organizations in the front of resistance. And he's just been telling me that the demonstrations now in their 65th day against the coup regime, still growing in size and number. Ricardo, you were present at the big marches in Tegucigalpa.
I can tell the last week especially, there is a special interest and in the size in terms of people taking part of the protest has been multiplied. I would say by the new sanctions and the signs coming from the de facto regime, which has given signs of weakening in the last week after the visit from the OAS commission. And I have to tell that despite of the fact that there has been a large military presence and police presence, there has no been open repression. Two compañeros have been killed this week, but they have been killed in isolated situations in Santa Barbara and in the north near San Pedro Sula. But the demonstrations themselves have not been really impacted by repression, by heavy repression, brutal repression, like they were in the first 4 weeks after the coup.
And the demonstrators themselves, they are still demonstrating peacefully.
Yes, the idea and the line that we have been following is to lead a peaceful demonstration, because it's really hard to tell how chaotic and how hard it's for our people when we have to face repression. So these weeks, our organization levels have, and our standards for security have been improved. We have detected infiltrated people from the police, and we have delivered these people to the corresponding authorities. So we have been basically preventing some infiltrated individuals to cause chaos and provoke the reaction from the repressive forces from the regime.
That's a very, very high level of organization or efficient organization. Given the size of those demonstrations, how big are these demonstrations? How many people would be involved?
Well, the number of demonstrators is variable, and I can tell, well, as you know, the organization of teachers in the country, FOM, Federación de Organizaciones Magisteriales de Honduras, so something like Federation of Teacher Organizations in Honduras, is more or less the spine of this movement, and when they go to work, I mean go back to the classrooms, then the demonstrations tend to decrease. When we go to the so-called slums in the city of Tegucigalpa, people will join and people will also share our points of view. But at that moment, when we reach our bottom level, we should be calling about 7,000 people in the streets. When the teachers and students go back to demonstrate, that we can reach a peak of 20,000 to 25,000, but I'm speaking about only in Tegucigalpa. So you have to consider the fact that we, so till this moment, we haven't been using people who is working or people who is threatened with losing their jobs in the private enterprises and things like that. These people are demonstrators that are basically permanent people in the struggle, but we grow and we go by, we decrease depending on what kind of band we have. For instance, we had a car demonstration last week, which was a huge demonstration in the streets of Tegucigalpa, and we could count possibly 25,000 cars lined up horning in the at the moment of the demonstration. Yesterday, the teachers were not in. We marched through some, again, so-called slums, and the march was around 25,000 people. The mobilization in the country should have at least 100,000 people every day in different manners protesting against the regime. I can tell that I'm not exaggerating my words, that the biggest problem the government or this regime, the facto regime, has so far is that it cannot say it has is capable of governance in the country, because they actually can't. They control nothing in this country at this point.
And yet they're talking about elections, I think in November, is that right? And the resistance front is talking about boycotting those elections. That's likely to become a very tense situation.
Well, at this point, the elections are supposed to be held on the 29th in November. Today they started the campaign. There is an official call from the Tribunal Supremo Electoral for starting the electoral campaign. The front, the National Resistance Front, has agreed and called this week, on Wednesday more specifically, to boycott the election. The only situation where we will accept to go to election is if the president, Manuel Zelaya, is reinstated in his position and this situation is normalized in the country. Otherwise, we will not be part of that.
And that's likely to polarize the country much more than it has been, or at least isolate the coup regime. I was just wondering, the resistance has refused to adopt violence up till now, but surely in that situation, the level with the resistance boycotting the election, the repression of the resistance is likely to increase, and I imagine feelings would be running very high. Will the resistance be able to maintain its non-violent attitude towards the coup regime?
Well, I can say something now about the election. The election is some sort of charade created to legitimize what the coup did. And even if we would take part with our candidate, we would be experiencing selective repression. Even if we agreed to enter this process, the process has no warranties that we are going to get an equal treatment and that our leadership is not going to be heavily impacted by repression. So this is one, to say something, I kind of have my doubts about polarization in the forces or the population in Honduras. You see, it's basically the front is just the face, the visible face of a much larger number of persons who are actually always expecting the instructions or the expressions from the president. He's like the glue who speaks all these different sort of movements. If we go to election and we boycott the election, of course there will be violence. But violence also will be present if we accept to go into this under the current circumstances. So the scenario will not be very, very different. You know, I believe because of the result of events, the turnout we have now is very similar as the situation you might have appreciated in the past in elections in El Salvador, where Arena is the right-wing party, and Arena is just delivering a huge campaign, anti-communist campaign, and trying to mark the leadership in the other side. So that would be us, as leftists and chavistas and things like that, creating violence because, as I see the candidates now, so the Partido Nacional has Porfirio Lobo Sosa. He is he is member of an extreme right wing party. They had their base of voters is relatively small compared to Liberal Party, but they are disciplined. So if conditions were normal, the struggle in this election would be between a left candidate and this Mr. Lobo Sosa. But that's not the situation. We believe the government is going to try to commit a fraud and installate a government led by Elvin Santos, who comes from the same party as President Zelaya.
And I guess there's the chances of Zelaya being reinstated are pretty remote at this point of time.
I can say, personally, I don't think there's much possibility. And I believe this is also a very hard thing to deal with. But with this 65 days, for us, have been an advantage because of the fact that people have been understanding that we are not struggling only for Zelaya, but we are, and our ultimate goal is to go to the Asamblea Nacional Constituyente to have a new constitution and create the needed regulation to have a different country. So in general, the goals of this struggle are different than this election, if I make myself clear. I don't know if I'm
that's a very good explanation, because another commentator remarked that the resistance is no longer just about Zelaya. It has taken on a bigger dimension, if you like.
Yeah. So in general, so I'm what I'm trying to say is we cannot. We may go to elections, we may not. Zelaya may come back, may not. It will depend on many issues and on many factors that pass through the Department of State, the White House, and a number of different dealings. And I don't know what is going behind the scene. But the struggle, the Frente, and the cause of this movement is beyond Zelaya's return. I can assure you that.
And finally, Ricardo, the people have been blocking the roads. It's been almost like an ongoing general strike. And it must be affecting the day-to-day lives of the people. Is the sort of economic situation affecting the people, and why hasn't it affected the morale? Well, we know the answer to that, but it must be difficult living there at the moment, Ricardo.
Yes, I can say so because I work very close to international aid organizations like UNDP or the Spanish Corporation, they are involved in the coastal communities here. All that money is now is there, standing by, waiting for these guys to leave. So there's not much money circulating. I can, for instance, give an example. I know somebody who owns a school, a private school, and she's now in a bit of a despair because the parents are mostly coming to excuse themselves from paying because they don't have money. And it's a pattern that reproduces constantly. The blockades of the streets at the very beginning, and for weeks, we did that. And basically, I believe the economy of the country is a mess. And to be realistically, the situation is not going to improve. First, because Micheletti honestly doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know anything about economics. Secondly, the world crisis was already impacting the country. And now we also have the fact that we are not exporting or importing the same amount. I don't feel this government is really controlling anything. They are actually wasting away the reserves that were calculated in $2,500 million, and they in two months have managed to deplete that in $400 million. For a country like ours, that's a lot of money, and that means more or less $50 million every week. Since they don't have any other source for the money, they have attempted to get credits from the private banks. It's like putting a mortgage on your state, you know. But that's not really convenient because that's a high-risk loan for the banks, because even if they are local banks, because there's nothing moral in that transaction. If the government goes, because it's gonna go one way or another, then the next regime can easily refuse to pay this loan. So economically, and I believe this is the most sensitive thing at this point, along with the resistance itself, is that they cannot hold on positions, because moving the army along and the police has an incredible cost for this government, a cost and money they cannot afford. So, and I believe, so I can believe the police and these the army they used to heavily repress us in other weeks is not that active now because they don't have the money to move it. So the economic situation is really running against them, and that's not going to change unless the international situation towards Honduras will drastically change, which I don't foresee in the coming days or weeks.
Well, thanks, Ricardo. Look, you did mention the police there, and I just have to ask you one more question. I don't know if you're in a position to know whether there are any signs of division or fraction within the police or the military. I mean, what's the morale of the police like, do you think?
Well, I cannot say they have breaches, because honestly, there are no signs that there are breaches. There are some rumors about the military have held like 100 officers and soldiers in prison because they didn't agree with the coup. I know a reaction in the middle of July when the police went on strike for a few hours because they didn't get paid. I know from a guy who was in the demonstration that one police told him that he was really tired of being on the streets. And this is funny. He asked the compañero, "Why don't you give up? We are tired of this." And the compañero replied, "Yes, we are not tired." And he said, "Okay, do you think the 500 lempiras you get to come to these demonstrations are enough to justify the harm we caused you? And the companion said, well, I'm gonna cure myself and I'm gonna be back tomorrow. What about you? So I don't believe their morale is really high, but I really ask myself a lot, how do they train these guys? Because there have been cases of brothers capturing or hitting their own brothers in the street.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us from Honduras to Community Radio, Ricardo. We appreciate it very much, and take very good care of yourself.
Thank you very much, and whenever you want, we are ready to keep you posted on